This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi, segment number 3 here on day 20 of the trial of Alex Murdaugh. Let's head to the courtroom.
Jury is present.
All right, thank you. You may proceed.
Please, Court, Your Honor. So, Mr. Zerchi, before we broke for lunch, we were talking about how one would process. We showed a floor that you sprayed some chemical, I can't remember what the name of it is.
Yes, sir.
Which would bring out previously invisible imprints of feet. You could do the same thing for fingerprints?
Yes, sir. Or it would enhance what you can see already.
I'm sorry?
It would enhance what you could see already.
All right. But it would also bring out things that you can't see.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about crime scene processing. Let me, we could bring the video up, please. And y'all need to cover your screens, please. And that TV's off? Everything done? I think we want to do stage number 1. Okay, we'll start that, please. Can you play that for us, please?
Well, the dad's over there. Actually, hold on. The people just won't do it. Fire rescue might have some more sheets we can steal.
That's right. It shouldn't be.
Okay, so you recognize that is Paul Murdaugh's body covered by a sheet?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We just saw some officers apparently taking that sheet off. This officer in particular stepped inside the feed room.
Objection.
Has that officer stepped inside the feed room?
The one on the extreme right of the image, yes.
Okay. And did you notice any protective covering on their feet?
No, sir.
And I call them booties. What do you call them?
Shoe cots or booties.
What?
Shoe cots or booties.
Oh, booties, okay. And is that, what if anything is under the procedures you understand, is the purpose of those?
It's to keep your shoes from contaminating the scene with any residue that may be on them. And secondly, also not to allow the imprint pattern from your footwear to contaminate the scene.
Okay. Is that procedure that you teach? Is that procedure accepted? Is that, what is that?
It's standard operating procedure.
Standard operating procedure around the world?
It should be, yes.
Okay. Now, go forward with it, please.
There is his law partner.
But you can see that officer has 2 feet inside the feed room?
Yes, sir.
No booties?
Correct.
Okay, keep going.
I don't think you're going to fit it in 300 block out under there.
Not unless it's the shortest thing in the blackout that's ever been made.
I don't think you put that phone back.
I haven't asked the dad about the phone, but dad did say he came over and checked their pulses. Beyond that, I don't know what else he may have done.
He had a shotgun.
He did have a shotgun with him, and I have secured that in my vehicle.
Yeah, but it's an upward shot. Yes, it's one. I would say a bigger one on the water, but I'm trying to stop the wind.
Yeah, but that's
because it gets his head on the ship. So that means the gun. I think we're going to find that.
Let's go to McDowell body cam, stage 6. And that was, for the record, Green's body cam, stage 1.
There is
parts next to him there.
All I want to do is see if I can get where you can lift it on each corner. Lift it that way.
You
can go right here to the office.
So the desk over there.
Oh, I want you to.
Fire rescue might have some more seats.
That's okay. That's all right. It shouldn't be anybody fire rescue out here.
There is. His law partner is back there.
Is that the same shot, but from shot from inside the feed room?
It appears to be, yes.
Okay. Thank you. You can turn that on. Off. So let me ask you a couple questions about what we've just seen.
Yes,
you indicated just a moment ago that they should have had booties on, and you've explained why.
As a basic precaution so that they don't contaminate the scene, okay, and also the scene doesn't contaminate them.
Let's talk about that sheet that was on Paul's body.
Yes, sir.
Tell us, first, would you use a sheet to cover a body?
Depends on the circumstance.
Under these circumstances?
Under these, in that the victim is not in a public access area.
Right.
Possibly, if there were other signs of contamination. In the last video, you could see raindrops coming down. But instead of us pour a sheet, I'd probably use a tarp of some sort.
Something that's not absorbent?
Correct, and as a last resort.
And why would you not want to use something that was absorbent?
Well, one, because it absorbs, but it absorbs both ways. The water hitting on the sheet would go into the matrix of the material. And anything that's under it, or in this case on Paul's body, could also be absorbed up into the sheet, whether it's blood or other biological fluids that might be present.
And if you had used a sheet or any other material, would you, once you've done using it, would you discard it or would you save it and have it analyzed, and why?
It should be preserved and it should go with the remains, right? Presumably to the medical examiner's office, and then be turned over to whoever the investigating agencies are, right, for further analysis.
And what would you be looking for?
Because there's physical contact between the sheet and the victim's body, any trace evidence such as hairs, fibers, or other materials that may be loose could be picked up, especially when it becomes moist, right? It now becomes like a sponge and actually picks things up and takes it away. You don't know what's not there.
So, let me understand this. If somebody had walked by, let's say the assailant had walked by that body, and we're all losing hair all the time, some of us more than others, if you run your hand through your hair, you'll lose hairs, right?
Yes, sir.
And if the assailant walked by there, and it looks like he was, the assailant, I think everyone agrees, was relatively close on that second shot anyway.
Objection.
Objection sustained.
In a hypothetical, if the assailant was close to somebody and walked by them, is there a probability that hair or other trace evidence from the assailant would end up under that sheet in between the sheet and Paul's body?
It's possible, yes.
Okay. Now, with the possibility, is that the reason you say save the sheet and have it processed?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's also talk about, first of all, you've read all the records in this case. You looked at all the evidence that was taken from the scene. You find any record that sheet was saved?
I saw no indication of it, no, sir.
Okay, or processed?
Correct.
Paul's clothes. He was clothed. What should be done with those?
Again, once they're removed from the victim, whether it's done at the medical examiner's office or in another location, again, they should be submitted to the laboratory for analysis. And again, it would be trace transfer evidence, hairs, fibers, or other materials, as well as any of the wound patterns that would appear on the outer garments themselves. Looking for things like gunshot residue, pattern analysis, it would be very helpful.
Do you see any evidence in any report of those clothes being preserved, let alone examined?
With the documents I've been provided, I have not seen any.
Okay. Now, you've just recommended doing some things. In your 30 years of doing crime scene, 20?
40.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't want to exaggerate. 20 years of doing crime scene work, going to crime scenes and preserving evidence. Are these the kinds of things, or these things, that you've done on your crime scenes in the past?
depends on what stage the crime scene is being examined. If it's at the very end, you finished all your documentation, you finished your evidence identification, you finished all your photography, your sketch maps, as long as there's not an exigency, an emergency that's present, and i.e. that would be life safety. If it's been determined, or the presumption of death, in this case from both victims, you can slow the investigation down. Right? There's no longer an emergency to rush through everything, and you take everything through a very systematic approach.
Have
you tried to be as detailed as possible.
Have you done that in the past?
Yes, sir.
And if this had been your crime scene, would you have saved that sheet and saved his clothes?
Definitely.
I'm sorry?
Definitely.
Okay. Now, let's talk about Maggie, and I'm just going to cut to the chase on this. Maggie had the same kind of sheet over. Would you have done the same thing?
Yes, sir.
You would have saved the sheet, sent it for analysis, saved her clothes, sent it for analysis.
Bagging and tagging each thing separately so there's no cross-contamination between the items.
Each item bagged individually so there's no cross-contamination.
Correct.
Was that done in her case?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
Okay. Now, let's talk a little about let me see. I'm going to try to expedite this a little bit. Okay, let's go to the Elmo, please. Tell me what's the number on that?
State's 39.
This is State's 39 for the record. Now, you understand. What do you understand this to be?
It's a photograph, and it's from a report from Agent Worley from SLED.
This is of the feed room floor?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, now, earlier we saw you spray some things on a murder scene in New York. I'm going to get to that in just a second. I think Agent Worley identified or testified that in her opinion, based on her experience in footwear, that Paul's shoes were in here somewhere. Is that correct?
A pattern similar to the shoes that Paul was wearing is present, yes.
Okay. Now, did she also indicate that she also found patterns consistent with one of the law enforcement officer's shoes?
Yes, sir, she did.
That may very well have been the guy we saw step into the feed room, right?
Possible.
Okay. Now, if you had come on this crime scene and saw this, would you felt compelled to do more than we've heard from Agent Worley?
For several reasons, yes.
Okay. First of all, what would you have done and why would you have done it?
I wouldn't have walked into the room.
Okay. Right? Okay.
You stand back, you make your observations, and you determine a course of action. And everything is done in a sequence at a crime scene. Right. Again, the first part is viewing it using a visual examination. Once you've identified areas of interest, then you determine the methodology that you're going to use to either collect, seize, document, right, the type of evidence that might be there.
So what would you have done? If you looked in the door and you see this, what do you do?
I would have started from the doorway and worked towards the back of the room in that it's a small enclosed area. So you work from front to back.
When you say work from front to back, what do you mean work? What would you do is right inside the door or right outside the door?
You would start documenting with close-ups and in the case, yes, sir, that there's an imprint just to the right of the door. That would be my first area to do detailed photography and imaging, right, for later comparison.
And as you work your way back, are you careful not to step anywhere? You're wearing booties. What are you doing?
You're wearing the shoe cots or booties. In addition to that, we would usually build a bridge. Basically take 2 2x4s and lay them in an area where there were no imprints, put a piece of plywood and actually stand on that so that you're not standing on the surface that the imprints are on. There are commercial products that are available that look like Tupperware boxes that you can literally stand on and do the same thing. So it preserves and protects the area that you're interested in doing the detailed work that you may be able to get more evidentiary information from.
And once you've done those photographs all the way back, what do you do next?
In this case, once the initial photographs were taken, determine if chemical processing is necessary or could I seize the item. In this case, it appears that these imprints are on a concrete base. It's a little difficult to take the entire concrete foundation and remove it, but it has been done before. In this case, again, now we work from the back towards the front, using some type of enhancement reagent to try to increase the amount of detail and the clarity.
That agent is what you sprayed in New York on the floor.
That would be one of them, yes.
Those images that aren't visible to the naked eye.
Even if some of the image is visible, it can give you additional detail in the periphery or other area where there's just trace amounts.
Okay. And you work your way to the front, taking pictures as you spray?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, once you've finished that, are you done with the floor?
No, sir.
What's now? What do you do now?
You want to take overviews to show the work that you have done, right, and show any modifications that you made to the scene. And, again, make the determination, can I take the area that that print's on with me? If it was a tile floor, we could pull the tiles up. But, again, because this is on concrete, we'd have to rely on the documentation.
And these are still 90-degree straight-down shots?
That would be the analysis part. You would still take general photographs on an angle showing the relationship.
But as you worked your way up and worked your way back, those would be vertical, I mean?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then you're taking general photos from different angles.
Yes, sir.
Okay, then what?
With digital, you would make sure that the photos came out, that you had an image captured, and that it was sufficient for whoever needs. You would also take a sample of the blood from those areas for later typing or DNA analysis, should it be necessary.
Did you find any evidence that they took a sample of this blood and analyzed it?
No, sir.
So we surmise it's Paul's blood, but it could be somebody else's blood there too?
Possible.
And the only way you could rule that out is take samples?
Is to take a sample, do an analysis, and try to identify the donor.
And that was never done?
To the best of my knowledge, no, sir.
Okay. So then we have a number of surfaces. Let me have them put up number 26, States 26. Okay, so, and just to cut to the chase, this is the door to the, I could see it a minute ago. There you go. That's the door to the feed room?
Yes, sir. The door frame on the right, door on the left.
Okay, did you see any evidence that they not dusted, that's old-timey language, that they processed that door or any other surface in the feed room for fingerprints?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
Now tell the jury, please, in a summary fashion, what you would have done. Well, first of all, do you have to see a fingerprint before you lift it or whatever you call that?
No, sir.
So how do you determine whether or not there are fingerprints you can't see? What do you do?
The base processing methods, again, depend on what technologies the agency has. The simplest and the oldest is dusting with a contrasting color fingerprint powder and a brush by just applying it to the surface and dusting it through. If a finger or palm or foot or toe has come in contact with those areas, the secretions from the ridge detail, right, leaves a pattern behind. Those latent fingerprints now become patent or visible. They can be lifted, they can be photographed. They also help tell you what was touched and how things were handled. So it would help in a reconstruction as well.
That's the oldest technology there is, though, right? The throwing dust down, fingerprint dust?
At a crime scene, yeah.
Okay. I'm not talking about going into the lab and using super glue or whatever. Say, at the crime scene.
Yes,
what is the more modern? Do you use lights or do you use chemicals? What do you do at the scene?
The first method would be to use an alternate light source.
What does that mean?
It could be anything source. From a flashlight held at an oblique angle to see if you can find any smudges or smears. More sophisticated portable laser units. All right. Laser is an acronym for a light source that produces a wavelength of light at a very specific number. The more common today are called the alternate light sources. These are various colored lights, and usually they're light-emitting diodes or LEDs at different wavelengths of light, so in concert with a pair of glasses that are filtered. you can get a shift and you may be able to pick up fluorescence or luminescence. One of the problems is that our secretions, the oils, the fats, and the salts, don't reflect. They don't give off light. So you would need to process those, if you discovered one, with some type of chemical staining that would act as a fluorescent. And essentially it would be similar to my watch, that when it's dark, it glows.
So are these new technologies, or, I mean, is something space-age stuff, or has it been around for a while?
The light source technology has become simpler and simpler. It's now battery-powered. Literally, it's a very simplified flashlight. They're also very sophisticated ones. The technology's been around for about 25, almost 30 years.
Okay, and not uncommon to be available to law enforcement labs?
No, sir. I would expect every laboratory to have some type of alternate light source.
Okay.
And
now,
the oldest traditional is ultraviolet.
Ultraviolet's a black light?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so simple mobile black light you could look at.
And, scanning the surface to see if it gives you any information.
Okay. And what if you didn't use the powder or the light, what else? What else could you do?
There's chemical fuming stains that you can use, and the simplest is superglue or cyanoacrylic acetate ester.
Can you do that on a scene?
With a door like that, if I chose to do that, literally you could bag the entire area, place a superglue packet or superglue with an accelerant in it inside the chamber, now inside the plastic bag, and fume the entire door. The other would be to take the door with you and process it.
But that
later.
Takes a while, doesn't it? The superglue process?
Not necessarily. Okay, half hour, 25 minutes.
Okay. And could you spray it with something else?
Again, the same reagents that we used on the footprints to make those visible, where there was limited amounts of blood-like material, could also be used there.
And you could do that on the door, you could do that on the door frame, you could do that on any object, the methods you've talked about, on any object, literally, in that room?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you see any evidence of any fingerprints, any effort to lift fingerprints, when I say lift, to identify fingerprints in that room or anywhere else on the property that night?
Again, not to the best of my knowledge.
Okay. Let me talk just for a minute about, let me find the one I want. Here we go. How about put States 195 up, please? Okay, maybe, let's see if we can tune that in a little bit. There we go. Now, how about make it closer? No, the other way. Okay. Tell me what this is, please.
It appears to be a photograph of multiple footwear impressions, three-dimensional renderings in a soft surface.
Okay, and this picture was taken, do you remember who took it?
No, sir, I don't.
Okay. I may have a document here that'll help you with that. Let me suggest this just to cut the chase. You remember reading a statement concerning Swister Duffy Stone?
Yes, sir.
Is that picture taken by the Swister?
I couldn't remember his name. I believe so.
Yes, okay. And it was taken on the night of June 7th?
That's the indication in the letter.
Okay. So tell me what we're looking at here.
Again, it's a soft soiled surface. Someone or some people have been walking through that area multiple times.
And did you attempt to identify any of those footprints by comparing them?
Just by looking at the basic pattern type, the flat surface ones that have relatively no detail, just the outline of the footwear itself, could be consistent with these sandals that Ms. Murdoch
was wearing. What about these other shoes?
There were no exemplars that I was made aware of taken by SLED to do a comparison or to try to eliminate them.
Could you tell whether Maggie's shoes were walking over the other footprints or were the other footprints walking over her imprints?
If those are from Maggie's sandals, they're on top of the other ones. but they're also going in two directions, and some are superimposed over the other.
When you say, okay, let me ask the question this way. Are Maggie's imprints on top of the other imprints, or are they on top of hers?
In the area that they appear, yes.
I'm sorry?
In the area in which they appear, the answer is yes.
Yes.
They were. They were made there after, right?
The are they on top of Maggie's?
No, Maggie's are on top.
Okay, so the other imprints were there and Maggie walked on top of them?
Apparently, yes.
Okay. Now, let me see if I can save us some time here. Well, you have also reviewed the SWED procedures manual, correct? Parts of it.
In brief, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, and let me ask you this. There's certain certifications different labs receive, correct?
Yes, sir.
And the certification SWED receives for their lab, is there an acronym?
The current acronym is ANAB, A-N-A-B.
Okay.
It's the American Board of ANA Accreditation. I forget the last word.
Okay.
But it's a pickup from an older accreditation program that was run under the ASCLAD program, the American Society of Crime Lab Director.
And tell me just briefly how that accreditation program works.
A laboratory or a crime scene unit can apply to this organization for this national, actually it's international, accreditation, which means that they're meeting a minimum criteria and minimum expectations from the parent body, right? It's a formal recognition, technically, that you're doing a good job, or at least your procedures are well written. The operation manual that I started reviewing was very thorough, was very well written, very easy to understand, but it involves everything from how evidence is processed in the agency, what the responsibilities of the different people are, including the director of the laboratory, the basic procedures and operation of the lab itself, or the crime scene unit, if it's involved in a police department that may not have a formal laboratory. The accreditation is well recognized across the country. And
so they certify that you're meeting the standards, basically.
That you're following the guidelines that you put, and your guidelines meet a minimum standard, yes.
Okay. So, and have you ever performed these analyses? Have you ever been appointed or assigned by this group to do this?
Yes, sir. Under ASCLAD, the precursor to ANAP, I was also one of their auditors, and we would go to different laboratories. In fact, they did the Columbia Sheriff's Department a number of years ago.
Richland County, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Department.
I forget.
So, you're very familiar with what the standards are.
Yes, sir.
In reviewing what this file and these pictures and documents, was SWED following the procedures that are required by that certification? On this case?
What I had for procedures were their operation manual, how to run the laboratory and the functionalities. There's also a second set of documents called the technical documents for each one of the sections that would further in detail give you the information of how to do things, and as an example, recipes for chemical processing, right? How to put the chemicals together, how to apply them.
They didn't apply any chemicals here.
Again, I didn't see those technical
according
procedures.
To the records. Okay. I guess what I'm saying is, and maybe the easiest way to just get this down to the generic, did they do what they were supposed to do under these standards at this crime scene? For most things, maybe they did some things that we're not aware of, but for instance, you looked at a number of foot impressions, correct?
Yes, sir.
You're required to do the 90 degree and then from different directions, right?
In a best case scenario, yes.
Did you see any footwear or foot impression that was taken that way?
No, sir.
Okay, all of them were from an angle?
Yes, sir.
And once you do that, are they suitable? I think we even saw
Jackson Lee.
Can't leave the witness.
to any of those photographs, no, which of any of those photographs met the standards required to do a comparison?
None of the ones from around the victims or in the small shed area.
Okay. How many, if any, had that 90 degree on a tripod, if you will, shot? How many?
None of them.
Okay. And as a result of that, were any of them suitable for forensic comparison?
They were suitable for pattern identification, the gross pattern, but not as far as the detailed individualizing accidental characteristic that might be present.
Okay. Based on the reports we have, what effort, if any, was made to take fingerprints at the scene?
None that I observed.
Okay. Does that conduct, either for the footprints or the fingerprints, meet the standards that you use or anybody else is using when they try to evaluate?
Objection.
I'm sorry, I don't understand the objection.
It says anybody else uses. Objection.
Any other department uses, any agency uses, any evaluating agency uses.
There was much more work that could have been done.
Okay. Did they do a terrible job here? He's an expert. I can ask an opinion.
I don't know what their limitations were, and I don't know what the training of the people doing the crime scene processing was. So
I'm not asking you the limitations. Looking at it, did they do a terrible job here? Did they do a less – terrible is a wrong word. Let me get it more scientific. An adequate job to show the absence of, at the minimum, the absence of any other evidence. They do an adequate job.
I don't believe so.
What?
I don't believe so.
Okay. And that's your expert opinion.
Correct.
Okay.
That much more could have been done.
Okay. And much more being done might have uncovered additional evidence that would have exculpated Alec Murdaugh, helped prove he's innocent. Correct?
Objection.
The basis for the objection.
Speculation.
On response.
Your Honor, the key here is the absence of evidence. And certainly the absence of evidence, if there was evidence they could have uncovered it, they done this process right, it would have helped at the minimum prove there was another person that did this crime.
Speaking response, if you have one.
He's testifying in addition to speculation.
Well, he is testifying.
The objection is sustained.
Thank you. Beg the court's indulgence one moment.
Examination.
Please. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Wouldn't you have loved to have been Laura Rutland?
I'm not sure who Laura Rutland is.
You don't know who Laura Rutland is?
No, sir.
Laura Rutland is. It's repetitive.
Mr. Harpootlicher. Mr. Harpootlian asked you if you, and maybe I think he told you, you had read all the records in this case, and you said yes, remember?
No, sir, I've been qualifying that each time he stated it.
I'm sorry, do what?
I have been qualifying that question each time he said that.
Well,
the records that were made available to me,
okay.
The entire case jacket was not made available.
So tell these folks what was made available to you.
Photographs from the coroner's office that were taken apparently by a photographer representing them at the scene. Photographs, I believe, were taken by SLED or an investigative agency. Later, I was the recipient of four images, now that I know were taken by the state, well, we call them state's attorneys, district attorney. Copies of the autopsy report, some of SLED's investigative reports, such as the fingerprint section, which actually also did the footwear all the footwear examinations. Let's see. I was given access to the operations manual for SLED, right, and the letter that I just referred to as far as the origin of some of the photographs.
So you have not read all the records in this case?
Correct.
And you don't know who Laura Rutland is?
No, sir, I don't.
Would it be important for somebody, well, let me ask you this much. When did you get all that, the reports and the pictures from, when did you receive those in your possession?
Some of them as long as 2 months ago, 3 months ago, others today.
And I spent the weekend looking through some of your background.
Yes, sir.
You provide reports in a lot of cases, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do.
Written reports?
Yes, sir.
What you do, what your findings were, correct?
Yes, sir.
And in fact, you do that in most cases, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Did you do a report in this case?
It was not requested.
Okay, well, so are you taking notes and are you just doing all that from memory up there?
Testimony so far has been more about procedural issues and the specifics of things that I've already reviewed.
I understand that, but that wouldn't answer my question respectfully. Have you done a report for yourself?
Do I have notes that I was taking? Yes. Do I
have
copies
of
the, do I have them with me?
Yes, sir.
Strictly what's on my computer.
You want to provide those to me?
If you wish.
He's entitled to reports, not his notes. He's not entitled to Brady. He's not entitled to anything but a report under Rule 5, and there is no such thing.
He just said, if you wish. He just told me I could have
them. I didn't ask for argument. The objection's overruled.
You said I can look at them?
They're not physically here, but whatever I have at another location, you're more than welcome to.
You said you had them on your computer.
Not all the handwritten notes, right? Any of the documentation I was given was by virtue of digital copies.
But you have something on your computer up there. You actually motioned toward it.
Please?
You have some on your computer up there. You
not the actual notes, no. And I have the actual documents I received to review. The handwritten notes or any of the notations on images or photographs are at another location.
When did you prepare? We got the PowerPoint last night about 10 o'clock. When did you prepare that?
Which one?
Was there more than one?
There were two.
Where's the other one?
They were both shown.
Those were two PowerPoints?
There were two separate ones, yes. I take it back. I'm mistaken.
You're what? What'd you just say?
I said I was mistaken.
Okay.
There was one PowerPoint. There were two sections to it.
Okay. And when did you provide that?
Probably a week ago.
And you just said you were mistaken. You have made mistakes in your life, haven't you?
Yes, sir. I have an eraser on my pencil.
And I'm old school. You're old school. And I don't mean that bad.
Thank you.
And when you were around investigating crime scene years ago, you didn't wear booties every time you were on a crime scene.
When I started doing crime scenes, they weren't part of the equipment.
So
as technology has come along, the fear of contamination, they become standard operating procedures.
But you have not always wore foot protection when you were on a crime scene, have you?
Going back 20, 30, 40 years ago, no, sir.
And you made mistakes before?
As everyone in this room, yes.
Yes, sir. Well, as you just did a minute ago, too. Can I pull up one, whoever's... Can you help enough? Do you mind? I'm sorry? Would you pull up something for me? 195, please. If you're not... If I can't...
That's the one you just...
It's 195.
Can you put it on the envelope? We can.
Can you put it on the Thank you. I didn't mean to. Now, you remember a minute ago when Mr. Harpootlian asked you about States 195?
Yes, sir.
And it's important when these footprints were put on here, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And you know who first saw those footprints?
No, sir.
You don't. That's right. It's Laura Rutland. Would it have been important to you to come in, and you're basically second-guessing the Colleton County Sheriff's Department, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division? Well, you're being paid to come in and say they did a bad job, aren't you?
I even qualified that answer, depending on the limitations of their skill sets, depending on the limitations of equipment that they have and their training, they may have done the best job they could.
But you're second-guessing the Colleton County Sheriff's Department and SLED and saying they did a bad job, didn't you?
With that particular image.
Well, no, you've said it about the whole thing.
Have you finished your answer? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are you referring to this image or the
right
entire?
Now, okay. Yes, sir.
As far as that picture goes, it's a good general overview documentation of an area. Without additional photographs, which I know there were four in the series, if I'm not mistaken, right, it does show this area in concert with a portion of the crime scene. That can be equated back to one of the diagrams that was prepared. This particular picture is a medium close-up showing a particular area, as I tried to explain with the photography, showing multiple images and how they relate to one another. The other photograph would show how it relates to the scene. The part that's missing are the macro or the close-up photographs showing the detail of the images, so that should a pair of shoes or article of footwear be available, they could then be directly compared and analyzed and either included or excluded from consideration in the case.
And if you had a witness, let me just ask, if you're giving an opinion up here and evaluating the crime scene, wouldn't you want to know if there was a witness who saw this image when they were just the sandals on it? Wouldn't you want to know that if you were evaluating, second-guessing whether a law enforcement did a good job? Wouldn't you want to know that?
It would be helpful, but that's not what I was presented with.
You weren't even presented with that.
I was presented with a photograph and asked to interpret what's there.
But if there's a witness who said, I saw those and there were just those sandal prints and nothing else there, you'd want to know that.
First off, I'm not an investigator. I don't do interviews. I don't talk to people about what they did or saw. As a scientist, you evaluate the information that you're given to work with insofar as possible. These images have very limited value for analysis. How they got there, I don't know. An article of footwear came in contact with that surface, as I explained, and left an impression, a three-dimensional image. As far as who was there, how many people walked through, I don't know. I was not at the scene at the time of the incident, nor have I ever been to the crime scene.
You've never even been to the crime scene?
Correct.
I mean, isn't that important if you're going?
Not for the limited purpose that I was asked to look at the evidence. And as the time had elapsed, there's no way to go back to a scene that occurred 2 years ago and try to interpret evidence that probably no longer exists.
And if, will you just please answer this one question?
Yes, sir.
If there was information from an individual who saw this scene on June 7th, 21, that when she saw it, there were nothing but the sandal prints and nothing else, wouldn't you want to know that?
Again, As a scientist, I can only deal with what's put in front of me. I avoid witness statements because of their unreliability.
An eyewitness who said, I just saw sandals. You wouldn't want to know that.
I would not care.
Would you care
I'm looking,
you this, a beat cop if you just saw sandals yourself?
I was not a scientist at that point. I was not subject to biased accusations, all right, and undue influence from others.
Are you talking about Mr. Harpootling or me?
Both.
Okay. And the reason I'm following up on that, and I wasn't clear, Mr. Harpootling said, were these over other imprints or over? They're actually over each other. The sandals are over themselves imprints, correct?
I said that, yes.
Okay. Well, it wasn't clear. You're not saying they were over these other.
It may not have been clear to Mr. Meadows. It was clear to me. It was clear to everybody else in the courtroom.
I also stated that they're on top.
Objection is sustained.
Objection.
The objection is sustained. Examination by the counsel. Cross-examination.
And finally on this topic, Mr. Harpootling said that these photos were taken on June 7th of 2021, and that's what you thought, correct? That's what you were provided.
The appearance from the letter that was, I believe, attached to those images gave that indication, yes.
Okay. And did it say what? Faith Court's note. They were actually taken on June 8, 2023, later that day. Did you know that?
Apparently, the person who authored the letter authenticating the photograph was inaccurate.
Excuse me, 565, Mr.
Zersey. Yes, sir.
Do you recognize those?
Yes, sir, I do.
Your Honor, without objection, 565.
No objection, Your Honor.
You did it without objection.
Now, Mr. Zersey, looking at, I think it states 139, and this now states 565, using common sense, are those consistent with this?
Nature of the objection.
He's an expert witness.
The
legal basis is he's applying the wrong standard. Common sense. He's a scientist. He can make a comparison scientifically.
The objection is overruled.
In general pattern designing, this pair of sandals possibly made the smooth imprints that appear in the picture. However, I cannot tell you size, right, or individual patterns, as the images here, again, were not recorded properly, if that's what they were.
Okay.
There are similarities to basic pattern design to these shoes.
Okay. And you'd have said that, and I'm sorry, you'd have said that as a beat cop 40 years ago, and same thing right now today, wouldn't you?
Except now I have to do it as an expert witness, which is much different.
You're getting paid a lot more.
Yes, sir.
How much are you getting paid an hour?
The base fee was $350 an hour.
I'm sorry?
$350 an hour.
That's the base?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You get paid for travel?
Yes, sir.
How much?
This time, strictly the airfare.
Okay. You don't get paid while you're traveling?
No, I'm not charging for time.
You usually do?
Again, depends on the circumstances.
And you know I gotta ask this.
That's okay.
Do you get paid more for sitting in that chair than you do for not being? Inside the courtroom testimony costs more than outside?
It's the same fee.
$350.
It's a basic 10-hour charge for testimony.
And how many hours have you logged so far?
Total 20 plus today and, you know, the travel. But I'm not charging for the travel time.
And is there extra charge for the PowerPoint?
No, sir. It's all part of the examination.
Okay.
premises of the same room.
I'm sorry.
Some are multiples of the same premise.
I'm going to show you what's marked stakes 559 and 558. Mr. Searcy, do you recognize those?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. Your Honor, 558 and 559 without objection?
Without objection, Your Honor.
They're admitted.
560 and 561, Mr. Searcy, do you recognize those?
Yes, sir, I do.
Your Honor, 560 and 561 without objection?
No objection, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
They're admitted.
Five, six, four.
Yes, sir, I do.
564 without objection, Your Honor.
Admitted.
566.
Yes, sir.
And you're saying yes, sir, that means you recognize them. And
yes, sir.
566 without objection.
Without objection, Your Honor.
And 557.
Yes, sir.
557 without objection, Your Honor.
Without objection.
You're admitted.
562 and 563.
Yes, sir. I'm familiar with this report and this one.
Your Honor, 562 and 563 without objection.
Without objection, Your Honor.
They're admitted.
56. Well, I'll stand back here so everybody can hear. Sorry. 556 and 564 are pictures of Paul's shoes and Alex's shoes, correct?
There are photographs taken at the laboratory of the two articles that you mentioned by ownership, apparently.
Okay. Who've been identified as Paul and Alex's shoes?
Okay, yes.
Yep. And then, what are these, 561 and 560?
Depending on the methodology that was used, either placing a slurry of ink on the bottom of the shoe, rolling it onto a contrasting surface, i.e. a piece of paper, of both, you have a set of the left and two sets of the right shoe, all right, to try to record any of the detail that would show in a two-dimensional impression when the shoe comes in contact with the surface.
And that's 589 and 559, I believe, are the right shoe. And 560 and 561 are the left shoe of Alex Murnaugh. Would you disagree with that?
No.
Okay. And that's good to do, isn't it?
Yes.
No question about that.
It's part of the examination process.
Take a picture of the soles.
Photograph the items.
Do an imprint.
Life size, not as represented in those pictures, but yes.
Because you're trying to see if they're characteristics, correct?
If you have something to compare them to, yes.
Class, first.
There's five criteria: size, shape, wear, pattern, manufacturing, and the final one is individual. The accidental cuts, scratches, gouges, or residue that may be stuck in the bottom of the shoe that would leave a pattern behind.
General class, and then see if you got some kind of individual defect, or I pronate, so that would show on my shoe, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir. And if you supernated, it would too.
Say what? Super, I got you, my bad, I didn't hear you.
Has to do with the way the foot flexes at the ankle.
I understand, I didn't hear you. And 198, 199 are already in evidence. Would you dispute that these were the right and left of Paul?
They were shown to me as representative of that, yes.
Okay. And that's good.
Yes.
That's good law enforcement.
That's part of the examination process, yes, sir.
And what's now been admitted into evidence, SLED's report by Special Agent Worley, two reports, one more detailed than the other, where she basically gave her conclusions about looking at these footwear impressions, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you can't disagree with anything that she came up with, can you?
No, in fact, I agree with her comments about the limitations that were placed on her to do the analysis.
Pretty good examination, wasn't it?
I have no problem with it.
You have no problem with it?
No, sir. In regards to the limitations that were placed on her.
But she tried.
Yes, sir.
And they tried.
Yep.
And they took pictures.
And the pictures that were taken made it difficult, if not impossible, as she states in her report, to draw a positive conclusion in one direction or another, to only be able to give a class characteristic of basic pattern design.
She wasn't basically 90 degrees over it, but the picture was there, still there, correct?
Pardon?
She could still compare these to a picture, couldn't she?
As far as general pattern characteristics, yes.
And I think Mr. Harputin showed you some of these. They're out of order, big portion dogs. An inked impression and overlay of item 103 shoes, which I think you and I have identified were Paul's shoes, correct?
If that's the number that's on the shoe, yes. Okay.
And she compared those to the digital photos, and I think, were they in here? This is 38, it's got 105.1. You remember looking at these?
Yes, sir.
And 105.2 and 105.3 inside the feed room?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And 105.1, right here. And did she make that mark and put it on there, 105.1?
Yes.
Okay. And again, that's state 38.
What'd Again, to the best of my knowledge, she made that mark.
I understand. What did she conclude about that?
If I could have a report, I'd be happy to read it. Either her report or her work notes, either one.
How about if I hand you this? I ain't got enough room in here. I'm sorry.
This is from her examination worksheets. Under
105.1.
Under the accreditation, these notes would have been taken contemporaneous with the examination that she was conducting. All right. Now, there may be a typed transcript of those. And could you repeat which section again?
You got my mark, huh? But...
There's a mark on 103.2. And you have an underlined section on 105.1.
105.1. Read my underlined section, please.
Strictly that out of context?
No, you read it all. I didn't mean that. You read all everything you want. Tell them about what she did. Tell it everything.
No, this is what Agent Worley did. From her examination worksheet, dated 6/23/2021. All right. Regarding reliability tested, not applied, all right, examination notes, subsection section 105 for item 105.1. Unknown footwear impression in photograph number 0139. Each photograph that was taken has a specific number assigned to it by the digital cameras, so you can go back to that specific image. Near the feed room door threshold, this would be, to me, it's closest to the entryway itself. The item 105, unknown footwear impression, consists of partial impressions and suspected blood on a cement floor. The outsole design consists of at least four rows of parallel rectangular blocks. One block is in a row by itself and appears to be two blocks that are joined together, forming more of a V or a U shape. Due to the amount of suspected blood, right, in the impression, it is difficult to determine if those or any of the blocks that appear to be joined together are actually joined in the design, or if the volume of suspected blood is masking the separation of the joints. The sentence with the underlying section, overall, the item 105.1, unknown footwear impression, is consistent with the outsole design of the item 103, right shoe.
That's consistent with Paul's shoe, correct? Assuming Paul's shoe is 103.
It's consistent with that one that's represented, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, this is her opinion.
I understand.
All right. Specifically, the unknown impressions appear to be consistent with the second through the sixth rows of the toe end of the outsole. There is barely a noticeable difference between the design of the left and the right shoe. However, there is a slight variation in the slant of the blocks, especially in the middle row of the impression. Additionally, it is the photograph, or if the photographs were true to size, there is an outline of the blocks that would align with the fifth row of the toe end of the shoe, which is obscured in item 103, left shoe, but is clearly visible in the right shoe. Due to the quantity...
Is that quality?
Quality, excuse me, of the impression, a more meaningful conclusion cannot be rendered. The item 21 and 95, right, have been eliminated based on the outsole design.
So
those would be Paul's shoes and Magny's.
So she found that that was consistent with Paul's shoe, correct?
Based on her opinion, yes.
Okay. And I'm not going to go through every one of these, but I just want to briefly go through. Did she also, on the 105.2 footwear impression, say that Paul's shoes were consistent?
And continues, the lack of clarity in the impression makes it difficult to determine if it was made by the left or the right shoe. Therefore, a more meaningful conclusion cannot be reached. And they were eliminated.
It's consistent, correct? The lack of clarity make it difficult to determine a more meaningful, but it's consistent, right? They weren't eliminated. Why'd you say that?
I read the next line.
Yeah, but that's item 21 and 95.
Correct.
You were trying to imply that...
No, I wouldn't do that.
You made a mistake?
No.
Well, you said they were eliminated.
They were objecting and standing up, badgering this witness next to him. He can read it. He can comment from back here. He's in the doorway, but again, I object.
For clarity?
This moment. He's been the objection is to you standing in the doorway.
He's been standing up here the whole time. Aimed a gun at us yesterday from here.
Pardon?
He aimed a gun at us from here yesterday.
Good for the goose, good for the gander is a rule, and I can't find it in my rule book.
Well, we're operating with limited space. Just as a matter of trial procedures, extremely unusual for counsel to stand in the locations where counsel have been standing throughout the trial. But given the limited space, it's somewhat understandable. But he has moved to the podium. Go right ahead.
Did you misspeak just then?
I did. All right, the last sentence states, the items 21 and 95, the other two articles of footwear, are eliminated based on their outsole design.
But Paul's wasn't eliminated.
In a very basic way. And because, again, by her report, by what she reports is the contamination issues, right, blood seeping into other areas, the detail is not there to be definitive. Also, there is no rendering of the size of the image from any of the crime scene photographs. Could it be this big, or could it be this big? I can't eliminate based on size.
And if we could go to 105.3, and I'll stay back here and left you a copy there, and I've got a copy.
Yes, sir.
That's an unknown footwear impression represented.
Your Honor, I wish you could tell us what exhibit he's looking. No, I mean, what exhibit you just handed him?
I'm sorry?
What did you just hand him?
The report that you didn't object to.
I don't object to it. I just don't want to know what it is.
It's photograph 29.
It's 1562.
Thank you.
Sorry. Where we were?
105.3.
Thank you. Under 105.3, can you tell me, which is comparing, I'm looking now in states 40, and do you see 105.3 in states 40, and did you review that when you were evaluating this case? And
I read the reports and matched photographs up to the scene, yes. Or the reports,
And did Agent Worley conclude that item 105.3 unknown footwear impression is consistent with the outsole design of item 103 right shoe? Did she conclude that? Oh, I didn't mean. I picked it up, but it's still up there. Sorry.
It cannot be
105.3.
It just says it cannot be excluded.
Did she say impression is consistent with the outside design of 103 right shoe? The second paragraph.
And continuing, although there is minimal amount of detail observed in item 103, right shoe cannot be excluded due to the basic design and structure. Again, the limited amount of detail made a very qualified findings. The other part, continuing on with this document and her final report, they all indicate that there could be no size comparison. And again, there's no way to determine that.
But she tried.
She tried the best she could, yes.
And going on down, 105.4, there was an unknown impression represented on the back of Maggie's leg.
Yes, sir.
I don't even know if he talked about it, but I'm going through 541.
Yes, sir.
What did she say about that? What were her findings?
I believe that she couldn't do anything with it.
Although there's a definite pattern visible, it cannot be definitively determined if the impression is a footwear impression or if it was created by some other object, right?
Correct.
And you agree with that?
Yes.
And the only thing she said it was kind of consistent with was the fabric portion of item 95 sandals that couldn't be excluded. And those are Maggie sandals, right? We don't know what it is, right?
Correct.
Sandals?
Could be that. Could be anything.
Could be a tire on an ATV?
Possible.
And let's keep going. We're almost through 105.5. And is that comparing the shoes with 557, which has been offered.
What is 557?
It's right here.
Okay.
105.5, 105.6. You've looked at this.
The area behind the door, yes, sir.
You've looked at that. Overall, the item 105.5 unknown footwear corresponds with the outsole design of item what right shoe?
Item 103.
Let's pause.
Again, these are class identifications. There is very limited detail.
And let's go to the final one here, 105.6. Unknown footwear impression. Too partial to determine if it was made by the square diamond pattern of one of the item 21 shoes. Therefore, no conclusion could be rendered. Item 105.6, unknown footwear impression was not made by 95 or 103.
Yes, sir.
She examined every footwear, every one of these, correct? She being Agent Worley?
According to her report, yes, sir.
Took pictures of them? Imprints of them?
Yes, sir.
Compared them?
Yes, sir, insofar as she could.
And came up with a report.
Again, I was not requested to write a report.
You don't even have a report.
Correct, sir. I've said that three times.
If everything else they didn't provide you was done 100% correctly?
No, sir.
Very, very, very briefly. Let me see if I can do this in less than 5 minutes. He asked you. Yes. There's a photograph up here he asked you about in the sand with impressions, shoe impressions, right?
Yes, sir.
So if this Laura Rutten person that saw this earlier said all she saw were sandals when she got to the crime scene, and then there were impressions over those sandals, would that indicate that somebody in some way spoiled or affected the crime scene that arrived after the police did, or with the police, or were the police?
After the observation, yes.
Is that something encouraged in these policies and procedures, to actually walk over footprints in the crime scene?
The primary redress at any scene is to protect the evidence, whatever it might be.
Was that protected?
I don't know.
It would appear if one officer saw just sandal impressions, and then after that, there are footprints on it, it's not protected.
Objection to leading.
Can't lead the witness.
We'll move on. So you were asked if Agent Worley did all she could do, and you said she tried.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, she tried with... She even says that the impressions, the pictures of the impressions, are inadequate, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that's because they didn't follow the simple procedures you've been doing for the last two, and most police departments have done for the last two or three decades, right?
And has been taught for a number of years.
No tripod, no direct angle. And let me ask you this. I believe we've asked this before, but if she had done what you did in that New York crime scene and sprayed a chemical.
Objection, Your Honor.
I haven't heard the question.
I haven't finished. So, if she had sprayed the chemical we saw in the pictures that you had in your PowerPoint from New York, what, if any, difference could that have made?
If there was a blood-like substance present, and more especially in and around the partial prints that were visible, it could give you additional detail and further enhance the pattern design, and hopefully give you individualizing characteristics for comparison at a later date. The difficulty with this whole case is I can't tell you when those prints were put there.
You can't tell me what?
I cannot tell you when those prints were there. The only comment that you can make is sometime prior to the time the photographs were taken, the print was placed there.
Okay. And this technology of using that spray is decades old also?
Yes, sir, it is.
So you said she tried. Could she have tried harder? Could she have tried better? Could she have used the techniques that have been around for 20 or 30 years to make sure there wasn't the perpetrator's bloody footprint in the feed room? Could she have done that?
She or someone with their investigative group that would be qualified to do that.
Okay. He asked you a series of questions, went on for 10 minutes about she compared this.
Objection.
The objection sustained as to the comment.
Were you asked about a series of report with a series of comparisons of pictures with different known shoe impressions?
Yes, sir.
And I believe you indicate that now if there was a match, what word would be used? Would it be consistent or would it be something stronger?
It depends on the type of analysis and the amount of information that you could call or get from it.
Do you ever say this shoe made that impression?
In an all better world with proper individualizing characteristic and the five criteria that I mentioned before, you could reach that conclusion.
Okay, but she says consistent.
Correct.
That's not that shoe made that impression. It's that shoe could have made that impression.
That shoe or any other pattern similar to that could have made it.
Okay, thank you. No further questions.
Mr. Meadows.
Do a second PowerPoint that said that mark on Maggie was consistent with the shoe. Did you do another PowerPoint?
I've done several.
You've done several?
Yes, sir.
Where's the other one?
Chose not to use them.
They chose not to use them? That's all.
You may step down. We'll take a little break. If you go to the jury room, please do not discuss the case.
That wraps up segment number three of our continuing coverage in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. There is more on the way. Press subscribe where you are listening to this right now so you don't miss any of this coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.